May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from that gospel reading, Luke chapter 3, verse 11. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What then should we do? What then should we do?" Let's be honest. As biblical characters go, John the Baptist, well, he's difficult to warm to, isn't he? He just doesn't seem like much fun, does he? Honestly. There he is, living in the desert, on a diet of wild honey and locusts. Sounds delicious. Not. And his clothes, we're told, are made from dead camel's hair. That must have smelt delightful. And John wasn't exactly the life and soul of the party, was he? Jesus, in contrast, Jesus loved hospitality. Yeah? So much so, you may remember, that in the Gospels, Jesus' enemies call him a glutton. Do you remember? Call him a glutton and a drunkard. Nobody ever called John the Baptist a glutton or a drunkard. And John wasn't one to mince his words either. To use that wonderful euphemism, John didn't suffer fools gladly. Look, for example, at how he greets the people who have gone to the bother to come out into the desert to be baptized. Does he say to them, "Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming. Good to see you." Does he help? He attacks them. He lets rip at them. "You brood of vipers," he calls them. You snakes. Who warned you to come here? Imagine if we had the same welcoming policy at St. Edmund's. Don't think we'd have too many takers. And that, notice, was just his opening salvo. He then goes on to attack them even more. He says, "Don't you dare come here saying we have Abraham for our father. We're good religious people. That sort of thing won't help you now. No, every true tree that does not bear good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire." Wow. All in all, I think we can say that John was about as cuddly as a grizzly bear and about as subtle as a sledgehammer. In Ireland, we call him a turn or burn preacher. Or was he? Is that the full story? Because what I'd like to suggest to you this morning is that that image of John the Baptist is not the full story. Sure, there's a great deal of truth in it, but when we have a closer look at John and his message, we see another, perhaps unexpected, side to him. So let's look again at John the Baptist. Listen to this. These are verses 12, 13, and 14 from this morning's gospel. It goes, "Even tax collectors," love the little word even tax collectors, "came to be baptized. And they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' And he said, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' And he said, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages.'" Now, to understand just how extraordinary those verses are, we must remember the context. I think we all know that tax collectors and soldiers were not the most popular people in Palestine at the time of Jesus. But I think we can easily underestimate just how hated they were. For instance, tax collectors were considered to be bloodsuckers for a foreign conqueror, Rome, and a pagan foreign conqueror at that. People felt that for a Jew to work as a tax collector was the most awful betrayal. The person himself would be ostracized, his entire family would be considered to be in disgrace. Remember, too, how the tax system worked. Basically, what happened was that an estimate was made of how much tax could be collected in a certain area, and then the right to collect that tax was sold. Naturally enough, then, the temptation for the tax collector was to collect a good deal more than what they paid, because every penny more was a penny profit. So with that in mind, go back to those verses. These people, these hated tax collectors, even tax collectors, as Luke puts it, come to John to be baptized, and what does he say? Does he say, "You're a disgrace. You're making money out of your people's misery. You must give up this tax collecting job immediately. It's not an acceptable job for a Jew." No, he doesn't, does he? He simply says, "Collect no more than is appointed you." His challenge seems to be, do what you can, where you are, with what you have. Notice something similar happens with the soldiers. Remember, Jews who worked as soldiers in the occupying Roman army were, like tax collectors, treated as beneath contempt. And just as with the tax collectors, there was great temptation for these soldiers to add to their wages through intimidation or racketeering or whatever. But again, what does John say? Does he say, "You must stop immediately being a traitor to your country"? How can you do this job? How can you possibly act as an agent of a foreign pagan conqueror? Doesn't say that. He says simply, be content with your wages. Again, his challenge seems to be something like, do what you can, where you are, with what you have. Now, really important to say this. I'm not saying that there wasn't also in John's message a call to radical change in every aspect of one's life. But I think John understood that a radical change of life often begins with smaller, more everyday changes of behavior. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Isn't that what we say? I think John understood that. Because yes, he could have treated the tax collectors and the soldiers in the same way as everyone else, with contempt and hatred. He could have told them to go away and come back when they've given up their wicked jobs and then we can talk. Yeah? But he didn't. Instead, he offered them practical advice which they could take immediately in their current situation. He told them to do what they could, where they were, with what they had. In fact, you know, when you think about it, John's entire life bears this out. John was a radical. Yeah? John was a radical. John left society behind and lived in the desert. Yeah? He survived on the diet of wild honey and locusts. He shunned all worldly possessions, as far as we know. He had no house, he had no land, he had no job, he had no animals, he had no family that we know of. But what was his message? Was it his message that everyone else should make the same extreme choices? Was it that everyone else should come and live in the desert? I suppose John might have said, maybe. Maybe some people should come and live in the desert. But for most people, it's do what you can, where you are, with what you have. John's message, therefore, was radical. Radical in its simplicity. Finally, look again at what John says to those who are neither tax collectors nor Roman soldiers, the ordinary people, the crowds, me and you, me and you. Verses 10 and 11. The crowds ask him, "What should we do?" And again, John gives a very simple reply. He simply says, "If you have two coats and you meet somebody with none, give them one of yours. And the same with your food." Simple. Share what you have with those in need. You don't need a degree in theology to understand that. Simple, straightforward, practical. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have. You know, there's a funny story about an American tourist who gets lost in Ireland. He's driving around Connemara in his car, his rental car, and he gets hopelessly lost. So eventually he pulls over, and because he spots a local walking along the side of the road, he pulls over and he says to the local, "Excuse me, sir." Excuse my American accent. "Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me how to get to Galway? Can you tell me how to get to Galway?" And the local, you know, he takes off his cap and he scratches his head and he looks at the American and he says, "Be God, sir, if I was going to Galway, I wouldn't start from here." Like those tax collectors or soldiers, many of us find ourselves in imperfect, compromised, less than ideal situations. And maybe sometimes we think, "I wouldn't start from here." But here's where we are. Here is where we are. As people who've taken some right turns in life, and people who've maybe taken a few wrong turns as well. Here we are as people who have done things we wish we hadn't done, and found ourselves in situations which, with hindsight, we might not have chosen. But the message of today's gospel is that you can start all over again from where you are. No matter where that where is. You can start over again by taking that first step. Taking that first step to do what you can, where you are, with what you have. May God give us the grace to do just that. In Jesus' name, Amen.